Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Luke chapter 3, verses 15 to 17 and 21 to 22. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The words, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased," might lead us to question, what has Jesus done in the first place to deserve this? What has he done up to now that makes this voice from heaven cry out with these words, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased"? At the end of today's gospel reading, Jesus in verse 21 presents himself for baptism, and then immediately he withdraws and he prays. And then, after he prays, it seems as though he receives God's loving approval for what he's just been doing. It seems that Jesus is being applauded simply for showing up for baptism, just for being there and being who he is, merits this applause, if you like, that comes from heaven. We don't always think of Jesus as having feelings, yet he was a human being just like any one of us. He knew what it was like to experience joy and sadness, pain, disappointment, and betrayal. Sometimes it seems as though he's lauded in the biblical stories as being some kind of other, but what we're thinking about today is Jesus being both fully human and fully divine. But if Jesus was going to be fully human, then of course he's got to have feelings. How are you going to experience life if you don't have feelings? It's part of human nature to have anxieties and doubts. When health worries get on our minds, when we're thinking about tests or exams, or any of the other sorts of things that we often have to face, it's natural for us to get anxious or nervous, wondering how the situation is going to turn out. Is it going to be good or bad? Are we going to hear the news we want to hear? Or are we going to feel crushed by disappointment? And part of experiencing those fears and doubts also means that we can receive support and encouragement from people around us, our families, our church communities, places where we work. People can be a great support when we are facing challenges. And that scene of Jesus coming to the River Jordan marks, as I said right at the beginning of his public ministry. From here, it all gets a bit real. Here is where the real work begins, and here is where the stories start to unfold. Following on in the next chapter in Luke, we encounter Jesus in the desert, battling with the devil on three different kinds of temptations. And then from there, it's the long journey heading towards Calvary and to the tomb. But on that journey, there will be many other challenges to overcome. I think we often wonder, when Jesus came forth for baptism, he wasn't doing so on his own. There were crowds and crowds of other people there. But what might have been going through Jesus' mind at the time? After all, if he was fully human, he would have had those thoughts, those expectations, those anxieties that any of us would be feeling at this point. Did he know at this point what he was destined for? I know different scholars have different thoughts and feelings on the subject, but I, for my part, like to think that Jesus knew full well what was going on. If his ministry on earth was going to have any kind of meaning, it had to have a beginning. And I think that beginning point was his baptism, when suddenly everything is turned on its head and we see God, fully human, fully divine, God revealed in Jesus. So if he had the wisdom to know what was coming, surely Jesus would have been anxious. Ultimately, he would have known where it was all going to end. Was he ready through his baptism to really start to tread that road, knowing full well where it was going to end up? But those words that came from heaven, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." Those were the words of support and encouragement that Jesus needed. That was God's promise to him, that he was never going to be abandoned throughout this ministry. We all draw strength at times from hearing positive comments, words that build us up, words that give us encouragement or hope. "Well done. Good job. Thank you for doing that." All sorts of other affirming words and phrases can really build us up. If we're facing disappointment, sometimes they're just that little glimmer of hope that we need to get further on through the difficult situation that might be that we might be facing. But we live in a world that celebrates so many different kinds of achievements. Quite often, people are celebrated for what they do, for how much money they have, for the clothes on their backs, for where they live, for how they speak, all sorts of things. But that's judging by human standards and not by God's standards. Because, of course, in God's eyes, we're all equal. It doesn't matter where we come from, what we look like, how we dress, how we speak, what job we do, or where we live. In God's eyes, each one of us is precious. Each one of us is special. Each one of us is as equally worthy of consideration as anybody else, because God shows no partiality, because God has no favorites. And in true love, there can't be favorites. And sometimes it can be a bit of a relief just to be told we're appreciated for who we are. And then it seems that the trappings or not of success or failure won't even matter. So how would Jesus have scored on his achievements? Didn't really have much of a home, as he was always wandering from place to place with this ragtag group of followers at his tail. Probably not particularly well dressed. This was a king who would be revealed later. Certainly not a person of wealth or circumstance. But what Jesus was fully himself. He seems to have given up that decent job to go around the countryside. He was completely reliant, it seems, on other people to provide handouts for him. Jesus annoyed the authorities of the day. His words, his teachings, his actions, even just his way of being, went completely against what the Pharisees, the scribes, the elders were all expecting. He was this massive contrast to their authority. And of course, here's this young upstart who gets in the way, and ultimately we go on to learn that their anger got the better of them. They always sought to get one up on Jesus, to catch him out, to confuse him, to deride him. He didn't seem to have much of a CV. But we go on in the Bible to learn that Jesus' ministry was one of love, of healing, of compassion, and even of teaching. What would Facebook, Snapchat, or Instagram have made of Jesus back then? I imagine there might well have been a lot of trolling comments. But that's the kind of social media that usually makes the headlines today. Again, it's the people who are derided for being different, for standing up for who they are, for rejoicing in themselves and celebrating that they, like each one of us, are fearfully and wonderfully made in God's image. Jesus knew what it was like to mix with the crowds, with the communities. He got to be where people were gathered. At the waters of the River Jordan, Jesus showed his solidarity with the crowds that were coming forward for this baptism of repentance from John, because Jesus was simply one of them, fully human. We're here to be a people who are celebrated. We're here to be a people who are here for each other. We're here to be a community that loves and supports each other in the good times, in the more difficult times as well. We're here to build a community of love and fellowship. And maybe when we do that, we'll hear the words that come from God. You are my beloved. With you, I am well pleased. Our achievements may not always be celebrated. We may not be lauded as great and wonderful people who've made a massive difference in our community. But sometimes it's the hidden things that go on. Those words of support and encouragement. Sometimes simply showing up and being there for somebody when they need us. Sometimes that's the most important. So today we celebrate the Jesus who showed up with the crowds, the Jesus who knew exactly what it was like to be one of us. And today is an opportunity for us to celebrate ourselves for being exactly who we are, who God has made us, and who God has called us to be. And I think our individuality is always a point for celebration. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.